All right, welcome back to Awakening the Sleeping Giant, a podcast all about the church and how we can become more of a biblical church. So we are going to be starting something a little different than we've been doing in our previous podcasts. I wrote a book, Awakening the Sleeping Giant, a guide to living out the New Testament church. And I want to walk through that book with you. So we are going to walk through this book chapter by chapter. Each of these episodes are going to cover one of these chapters. There are 9 chapters in this book. So we will be doing 9 separate episodes talking about Awakening the Sleeping Giant, a guide to living out the New Testament church. So I really hope this helps you understand some of the issues that we see in traditional churches, some of the things that we can change, some of the reasons behind why these exist. So kind of how the format of this is going to go. I'm going to read through some of the text in the book and then comment on it as I go, but I want to make sure that I'm really reading each of the chapters and sections for you and then kind of explaining a little bit of it as we go. So for this episode, we are going to dive right in to the preface and the introduction. Before we get into any of the chapters. So I'm going to read these for you and then just kind of share a little bit about my passion and where this all came from. So this book is compiled from research, personal experience, and biblical study of the church Jesus Christ founded in the New Testament. At least to some degree, I knew that I was embarking on a daring journey, likely to leave many holding on to traditional models of the North American church kind of unsettled. I could not, however, turn away from what I believe the Lord was asking me to do. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "Do one thing every day that scares you." Well, this book is a result of hundreds of days that have scared me. I have been scared for 2 reasons. The first is selfish, because I know the following content will not make me popular. And secondly, I know what could happen if the church is not rediscovered. It is the second that drives me, developed out of a love for God, His church, and you. Undoubtedly, the North American church has had a significant impact on the world. Thousands of lost individuals come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior every week, and the name of Jesus can be heard around the world because of how God used the North American church. For that, we praise God. However, what God uses for His glory cannot be used to justify the actions thereof. I want to repeat that part for you guys, okay? I want you to make sure that you hear this. However, what God uses for His glory cannot be used to justify the actions thereof. God does what God does. He will use all things, good, bad, or indifferent, to bring Him glory. I realized that the church modeled for us by Jesus is not reflected in most churches in North America. I was unsure what was missing or if anything was missing. I just knew that I had to figure out what God's design of and desire for the church is, to make sure that I was teaching on and building a faithful church Jesus would be pleased to claim. It all started with an inner conflict, as many projects do. I was torn between 2 ideas of the church being presented to me by 2 influential people in my life. One was a pastor, and the other was a former pastor turned missionary. The problem was not that one seemed right and the other wrong. In fact, both ideas made sense. They were, however, far from being the same. Thus, the inner conflict began. And the Lord asked me to find out for myself, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, what the church was. On an airplane headed to San Juan, Puerto Rico from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Lord asked me to write down what I believe the Bible teaches about the church. What I discovered on this journey was challenging to accept and even more challenging to apply. It has become increasingly more difficult to share with those who only know what tradition has taught them. I have received mixed feedback as I have discussed my research and study results with others. It ranged from positive and affirming encouragement to rejection and what some may consider persecution. On a personal level, persecution came in the form of getting fired from a pastoral position after expressing and living out the biblical model of church, which this book will lay out. However, instead of affirmation, rejection, and persecution, the Lord has given me the grace to see and a vision for restoring his church. And guys, that really is what this book is all about. I want to make sure that we are restoring the church back to what God intended it to be. This is not meant to bash any particular type of church or the way people do things. I simply want to lay out what we see in the North American church, what we see in the Bible, compare the two, find out what some of these problems are, and figure out a way to fix it. And that's my hope. So as I go into the introduction, I really want to make sure that people understand what I mean when I say church. So I use some quotes throughout here. A lot of scripture. I do use a lot of story. So I'm going to read the introduction for you. I'll probably stop a little bit in between, explain some points. So the church, as defined by Strong's Concordance, is ecclesia. Ecclesia, according to the Strong's Concordance, is people called out from the world and to God, the outcome being the church, the mystical body of Christ, i.e. the universal total body of believers whom God calls out from the world and into his eternal kingdom. So the church as described in the Bible is ecclesia. It is the only word used for church, the universal church, meaning all believers, and the gatherings as a local church. Guys, this is really important for us to understand. The only word used is ecclesia. Right, there's no other word used in scripture for church. This is the only word. So we know that when the Bible is talking about the church, it is referring to believers only. That's very, very important. So people are creatures of habit. Although behaviors like brushing your teeth or taking a shower daily are considered good habits in most cultures, some practices are not good for you. In Matthew 28, 16 through 20, Jesus gives his disciple their final command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things I have taught you. The fulfillment of Jesus' command should be the result of what churches practice. I want to repeat that for you. The fulfillment of Jesus' command should be the result of what the church practices. The premise of this book is to discuss the different practices found between the New Testament church modeled for us in the Bible and what we see in the North American church. In the end, offering biblically based practices that will help redirect churches in North America to better reflect the biblical model of church. At the beginning of each chapter, the reader will have the opportunity to assess where they are currently by answering a few simple questions. Questions are also provided at the end of each chapter that may be helpful for thinking through what the reader's next steps might look like. So I want to really challenge you. If you are listening to this podcast right now, I would really challenge you when I read those questions, write those questions down and answer those questions for yourself. I think they'll be really insightful and really, really helpful for you. So although some change in church practice is inevitable, and modifications may be argued based on cultural differences and technological advancement, which has led to numerical growth, a question must be asked. How much can something change before it becomes something different altogether? Let me share an example with you. I enjoy cars and have since I was a child. So in my opinion, guys, this is for real. In my opinion, the 1985 Porsche 959 is the cream of the crop. Classic American muscle cars, however, are some of the most sought-after vehicles today. Owning a 1979 Chevy Camaro myself with a 350 Corvette engine with a top speed of at least 160 miles an hour, don't ask me how I know this, as my first car helps make my point. There is something about solid steel, big block engines, and four-barrel carburetors, and a rumble that makes you quiver that cannot be explained. One such car is the Dodge Charger. Originally, The Charger was a two-door sports car. Now it's marketed as a four-door sedan, albeit a successful marketing plan. But, as Christian Sabaw with Motor Trend Magazine notes, when Dodge relaunched the Charger nameplate in 2006, it got some flack from traditionalists for what it wasn't, a two-door muscle car like the iconic Dodge Chargers of the late 1960s. Instead, it was a front-engine, rear-drive sedan with an optional V8 in an era of boring beige boxes. Although Dodge utilized a classic name many people knew, diehards were not impressed. Is the modern vehicle that Dodge calls a Charger really a Charger? I'm no car expert, so I'll let you make that decision on your own here. But I think you get my point. People tend to stick familiar labels on things that are not what the original label was. This is precisely what has happened with the church in North America. In this book, the North American church will be looked at from the same angle, asking a similar question. Is the organization that North Americans call church today really church? Many stumbling blocks often blind the church of what Jesus intended her to be. Emotions tied to traditions are usually the main contributing factor in changing them. Although emotions can make things seem very real, Mark Batterson, in his book Draw the Circle, says that the emotions people experience do not reflect their external reality, but rather they reflect their internal reality. In other words, our emotions tied to church tradition cannot justify the tradition because the emotions tied to them cause us to see and understand the church as we are, not as the church is. Unfortunately, emotions have led the church in North America down the road it is on today, having hierarchy systems and being consumer-minded rather than producer-minded. A mantra for the North America church has been, come and hear rather than go and share. How do we work past our emotions to see reality as it really is? One might say that we must approach the church through a spiritual lens rather than a worldly one. This is only possible by going beyond our limits as human beings, past rational and logical thinking, and past our senses to a place only the Holy Spirit can take us. The Holy Spirit can move us from an emotional response to a spiritual response, and this is accomplished through humbly going to the Father in prayer, fasting, and a study of Scripture. My hope is that the church is provided tangible information and tools to begin applying and sharing the New Testament principles so that the church can, once again, change the world. Now, here is a word of caution. So this word of caution is meant for the readers of this book, but it is also for the listeners of this podcast. This book is meant to be a relational conversation between the author and the reader, but I wish to offer you a word of caution before you read on. My goal is not to defame, discount, or discredit the North American church or those who lead it. Instead, it is to reveal how the church Jesus modeled for us can be restored and how we, as followers, can fulfill the Great Commission by applying and sharing what he taught. This book may not be for those not prepared to be challenged and changed. And the same goes for the podcast. So for those who are choosing to continue reading, or in this case, continue listening, ultimately, through the Holy Spirit's leading, you will need to decide for yourself what changes are made. Please commit to reading this podcast, to listening to this podcast or reading the book to completion to fully grasp what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. Please give me grace as you read through these pages or listen to these episodes, as this was as hard as it is to write as it will be to read or listen to. Through this process, the Lord has challenged me to reevaluate my idea and definition of the church. Also, please do your homework. Do not take my word for it. Instead, discover God's intended design and desire for his church by digging into his word. Welcome to the journey. Let's begin awakening the sleeping giant. But I leave with you one last note given to us by the Apostle Paul before we read on, before I continue more episodes. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will be rewarded. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. So the next episode, we are going to dive into chapter 1. But I really hope you have a good idea of what this series of podcast episodes is going to be about. And I really hope that you are engaged with this. Please reach out to me if you guys have any questions. You can email me at theexchange.go@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. Just search up my name, John Carroll Hogeveen III. You can find our ministry on Facebook, The Exchange. You can go to our website, madetheexchange.com. We want to equip and empower Christians to live a life that is reflective of what the Bible teaches us. And we want to empower and equip the church to reflect a biblical church. That is my heart, that is my passion, and that is my goal with my book, Awakening the Sleeping Giant, A Guide to Living Out the New Testament Church. And that is my hope with this podcast and the ministries that I do. I also provide workshops. I have evangelism workshops and discipleship workshops. We can also walk through this book together with your church or your ministry or your group of believers in your circle if you are interested in growing much more intently and in discussing this more in depth. But guys, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page as we move forward with listening to this podcast. First of all, if you're listening to the podcast, you really have to be on the same page and agree with me that there is something not right with the North American church today. There's something missing, something isn't working, and what we have been doing just is not producing the fruit that we should be seeing in the church. That is first and foremost. If you do not agree with that, then this podcast isn't for you. It's not going to make sense to you. You might as well not listen to it because this podcast is intended to bring change to the church and ultimately your local church body, wherever that may be. And so, first of all, we've got to be on the same page with that. Second of all, if you're listening to this podcast, you really need to be open and teachable. There's a lot of things that I'm going to be talking about in Scripture that were very foreign to me until I really started researching it and digging into it. So please be open-minded, be open-hearted, be teachable. Again, don't take my word for it. Dig into Scripture, look into some other research. But my goal is to help you grow however I can. So I hope that happens. So thank you guys so much for listening to this very first episode of Awakening the Sleeping Giant that is going to walk you fully through my book, Awakening the Sleeping Giant, A Guide to Living Out the New Testament Church. I hope you learned something. Please reach out. I will be more than happy to answer emails, any sort of messages you want to send me. Let's talk about this. And guys, let's go change the world and let's go bring Jesus to the lost, hurting, and broken. Because guys, it is time to awaken the sleeping giant.